This is the shape of Texas. Just south of downtown San Antonio and along the river, there's a neighborhood of historic homes, some quite daring for their day. It's called the King William Historic District. Prosperous German immigrants settled there beginning in the 1860s. Its official name stems from its main street, King William, named for the King of Prussia. The earliest homes were simple limestone structures. However, architects designed many of the later grander ones. James Riley Gordon, who designed 16 Texas courthouses, designed the home of the pharmacist George Caltire, with massive masonry turrets and towers. Alfred Giles designed homes for the lumberman Edward Steeves and the banker Carl Gross. The Gross House features elaborate Victorian tracery on its galleries and an Italianate cupola. The two-story Steeves homestead is built in the Victorian French Second Empire style. Today, it's a museum. Indeed, the roster of King William's early residents reads like a who's who of San Antonio's civic and business life. The city's first parks commissioner, Anton Wolf, lived at 107 King William in a house modeled after an Italian villa. It has a square tower and paired windows. At 241 King William is the home built for Alexander Josky of the mercantile empire Joskys. It's built in the colonial revival style with tall chimneys that tower over the shingled roof and limestone Ionic columns. By the 1920s, the neighborhood fell out of fashion. Some homes were converted to apartments, but decades later, King William was rediscovered and restorations began. In 1968, it was designated the first historic neighborhood district in Texas. Artists, writers, and family now live there. Walking tours along the shady streets and historic bed and breakfast inns give visitors a taste of the glory days of King William. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough. This is The Shape of Texas. The Monte Vista National Historic District offers a glimpse into a gilded age of residential construction in San Antonio. From 1890 to 1930, more than 50 architects designed homes in the 100-block area. It's just west of Trinity University and about 2 miles north of downtown. The neighborhood has retained its residential character without being overrun by commercial development or succumbing to economic decline. It began in 1889 with the development of a hillside goat pasture northeast of the San Pedro Springs. This area, called Laurel Heights, overlooked the city of San Antonio and took advantage of newly extended utilities and trolley lines. Soon, other subdivisions followed, and with thoughtful planning, inventive architectural design, and more than a little marketing, the area became known as a neighborhood of culture, refinement, and good breeding. Over the years, construction in Monte Vista added homes of many sizes and a variety of architectural influences. Opulent mansions with Moorish or Victorian details and antebellum-style homes that recall southern plantations contrast with modest Hollywood bungalows and mission-style apartment buildings. A Mediterranean-style home built in 1928 and later donated to the city now serves as the Landa Branch Library. Its grand interior space is a gathering spot for neighborhood residents. The neighborhood also reflects the city's cultural development through its churches, synagogue, and schools. Thanks to this unusual architectural diversity, Monte Vista was designated a San Antonio Historic District in 1975 and a National Historic District in 1998. Many distinguished homes and other buildings might be singled out for recognition, but what sets the Monte Vista neighborhood apart from others is that these outstanding homes do not stand out. Instead, they work together to create a sense of place and of community that's an example for the development of modern-day neighborhoods. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough. This is The Shape of Texas. Since the late 1920s, the bus stop at the corner of Broadway and Patterson Avenue in Alamo Heights has delighted riders with its sheltering concrete reproductions of shade trees. The bus stop was quite simple in plan, creating the illusion of a row of three tree trunks rising to support a thatched arbor. Bark-like circular benches surround each trunk, providing a place for travelers to rest while waiting for the bus. The shelter is the work of Dionisio Rodriguez, an artisan born in Mexico who perfected a process by which reinforced concrete is made to look like wood. The structure has remained functional and beautiful, It's a touch of artistry amid daily life in a quiet little city that's surrounded by San Antonio. Rodriguez called his work El Trabajo Rústico. It began with a metal framework to which cement was applied. He would sculpt and stain the wet cement to create a wood-like appearance, including detailed imitations of peeling bark, broken branches, knots, and insect holes. Rodriguez completed a variety of projects in San Antonio, and many still survive, including a pedestrian bridge in Brackenridge Park that simulates a fence and an arbor of woven tree limbs. There are several other smaller works in the park as well, such as benches, planters, and lampposts. A large fountain and fish pond, surrounded by a covered walkway, are located on the former site of the Alamo Cement Company, near the modern quarry market. Rodriguez died in 1955, but the impact of his designs can be seen on more recent San Antonio projects, such as the HEB Science Treehouse at the Witte Museum. The treehouse incorporates two 20-foot-tall concrete trees and interwoven branches. They were designed and constructed by the great-nephew of Dionisio Rodriguez, artist Carlos Cortez. His work perpetuates the spirit and the ingenuity of the master. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough. This is The Shape of Texas. In 1981, nearly a century after it was built, the old Lone Star Anheuser-Busch Brewery began a new life as the San Antonio Museum of Art. It's in an industrial area north of downtown and displays works from ancient to modern. The brewery expanded from wooden sheds to a complex of 9 buildings constructed with limestone block bases and buff-colored brick walls. Its 3-story buildings were topped with crenellated towers like those found in Spanish fortresses. Albert Felix Beckman and James Warrenberger were the local architects for the brewery's construction, beginning in 1895. It took $12 million in public and private funds to transform the brewery into a museum and to fill it with art. The Massachusetts architecture firm Cambridge 7, working with San Antonio's Chumney Urrutia Architects, cleaned up the main buildings and installed elevators, air conditioning, white display walls, and modern lighting. A grand trussed walkway bridges the brewery's towers. It's encased in black glass. The underlying buildings mostly were left unchanged. Wide spans and deeply arched concrete floor structures provide display areas for art from Europe, Asia, and the Americas. Rough brick walls and tall windows bring the brewery's history into the museum experience. The museum grew in phases. An outdoor sculpture garden displays artworks that contrast with the rusting barrels and car repair shops on surrounding properties. 2 new wings opened during the 1990s. One displays works from ancient Egypt, Greece, and Rome. The other is the Nelson A. Rockefeller Latin American Art Center. Today, the San Antonio Museum of Art is a crossroads of the world's cultures, with a permanent collection of more than 300,000 works. Thanks to the foresight of the brewery's architects, those who visit the museum enjoy a fine blend of world art and San Antonio's past. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough. This is The Shape of Texas. In a city known for its Spanish and German heritage and architecture, the Havana Riverwalk Inn in San Antonio represents a charming departure in style. The Mediterranean Revival design by architect Arthur J. Herman, coupled with the hotel's tropical name and landscaping, suggests an exotic and fanciful presence downtown. The Havana opened in 1914. It was built by local grocery and cigar merchant Edward F. Melcher to lodge his out-of-town customers. Melcher gambled on the location on the north side of downtown. At the time, the area was developing as a new business district. The Havana became its bustling hub. But over the years, the building changed hands and fell victim to neglect. Rescued by a new owner, the Havana was reborn in 1997 as a 27-room bed and breakfast inn. Though newer buildings in the area stand taller, the 3-story hotel still stands out. It sits along the San Antonio River amid palm trees. Twin square towers flank deep porches that invite guests into their shady recesses. Eyebrow dormer windows gaze from the 3rd-story attic. Other details include finials on roof ridges, broad eaves, and red pressed metal roof shingles that contrast with the tan brick facade. The restored interior includes period furnishings that recall the Havana's glory days in the Roaring Twenties. Restoration architect Bill Reeves of Marmon Mock credits the Havana's new owner, Teresa Greer, with the vision to revive the historic property.
One of the most gratifying things that I would say that we came away with was that we worked with an owner who actually had the foresight to see the landmark that the Havana was and to put it together into a project that really has helped revitalize part of downtown San Antonio, which has for the most part been overlooked for these past few years.
For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough.
This is The Shape of Texas. The Trinity University campus in San Antonio is a tribute to modern architecture from one of its most fervent practitioners, the late O'Neill Ford. The exuberant San Antonio architect headed the team charged with designing a new campus for the Presbyterian-affiliated school, which moved from Waxahachie during the 1940s. School officials in 1949 selected a dramatic site for the campus, 107 acres on a bluff in an abandoned quarry about 5 miles northwest of San Antonio. They planned a traditional design, but that proved too expensive, so they turned to Ford, whose work combined modernist functionality with respect for 19th-century rural building traditions. The 11 classroom buildings, dormitories, and other structures built at Trinity from 1950 to 1955 are all straight lines in concrete, brick, glass, and steel. To save money, concrete slabs for the roof and all the floors were poured on top of each other on the ground, then jacked up onto the building's steel framework, where windows and red brick walls were inserted between them. The slabs, thin as pancakes, made deep overhangs to protect against the sun's heat, a feature the architects drew from 19th century sources. Ground level and elevated walkways and staircases, constructed from concrete so thin it appears to levitate, link the buildings. Ford and his team tucked their buildings into a landscape of oaks, buffalo grass, and other native plants, designed by Dallas landscape architects Arthur and Marie Berger. The no-frills, functional buildings that Ford and his team designed harmonize with the site. The result is a peaceful campus now with more than 50 buildings. For his devotion to good design, O'Neill Ford was named a National Historic Monument in 1974 by the National Council on the Arts. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Mark Malinowski.
This is The Shape of Texas. The San Antonio Botanical Gardens is a 36-acre oasis of fragrance and color. It features recreations of East Texas, Southwest Texas, and Hill Country habitats. Formal Japanese and European-style gardens, a garden of biblical plants, and special gardens for children and the blind round out the picture. The highlight of the complex is the Lucille Halsall Conservatory. It was designed by architect Emilio Ambaz and built in 1988. The conservatory is a little-known architectural treasure of the state. There, two senses of the word geometry combine. The first means measuring the earth and recalls the layout of fields by ancient farmers. The second comes from followers of the Greek philosopher Plato. They view geometry as a science of immaterial shapes in which pyramids, cylinders, and cones exist eternally in a world of thought. Both philosophies come into play at the conservatory, which is set mostly underground, arranged around a sunken courtyard. Truncated cones and sliced pyramids of steel and glass form roofs set into the earth, oriented to admit as little light as possible. That's to protect the conservatory's special collections: alpine flowers, towering palms, cacti, water-loving lilies, and rainforest orchids and ferns. Each group has its own climate-controlled environment, some misty, some dry and hot, some whipped by cold winds. Elsewhere at the San Antonio Botanical Gardens, visitors walk through sunlight and look down at familiar plants. At the Halsall Conservatory, they stand in shadow, or look up at displays, or walk through groupings of alien-looking vegetation bathed in slanting light from above. The familiar becomes otherworldly, and geometry links visitors to a world outside their normal expectations. For The Shape of Texas, I'm... This is The Shape of Texas. The San Antonio Downtown Public Library revels in the South Texas sunlight. It's the most talked about contemporary structure in the Alamo City. The five-story library is a lively jumble of stacked rectangles and trapezoids that contrast with the taller concrete and glass buildings that surround it. Usually, libraries are quiet spaces, but this one can be boisterous. Outside, on its vast stucco walls, it glows with a rich red. The locals call it enchilada red, punctuated with flashes of yellow and electric blue. The controversial structure was built in 1995 for $28 million to provide expanded space for an expanded collection of 750,000 volumes. The famed Mexican architect Ricardo Legorreta led the library's design team. He used color, light and shadow, and contrasting shapes to charge his buildings and their spaces with liveliness and calm, and even with mystery. Inside, tall white walls and a grid of shelves surround the library's first-floor circulation desk. Escalators to the second floor travel through an atrium with saturated yellow walls. A reading area beckons library users with pale maple tables and purple leather settees and massive blocks and cylinders of pink and gray volcanic stone. In the third-floor children's area, purple carpet contrasts with yellow walls and furniture is child-scaled. Brilliant light floods this space from grid-patterned windows that open onto roof gardens. Upper floors house stacks and reading areas. Perimeter walls are white, while the yellow interior atrium glows under a cloth-shaded skylight. An audacious, colorful building, expanded collections, and a friendly staff have made the San Antonio Library one of the busiest in the nation. For The Shape of Texas, I'm Bill Clough. Major support for The Shape of Texas comes from Texas Architect, a magazine of architecture and design in Texas, and from Texas Highways, the travel magazine of Texas. Additional support comes from AIA, the American Institute of Architects. Additional information is available at texasarchitect.org and from texashighways.com on the Internet.